Lost in Jersey is meeting the candidates. Welcome to our Montclair Election Special 2024. Introducing Chrissy Thomas, running for mayor of Montclair.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. It's nice to have you here and to get to talk to you and talk to you about not only about why you're running, but also learn a little bit about your background. We always like to know how you ended up in New Jersey. And a lot of times it's either by yourself or your parents or your grandparents that got you here. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I am first generation India. So my parents came here in 1950. They were part of the big push to get educated people from foreign countries over. And my dad was getting his PhD and my mom was already a nurse. And so she would work overnight shifts so that she could be with my older brother and sister during the day because Indian men don't do stuff. even with my husband, like my older, like much older uncle came and he looked at him and he was washing the dishes and he changed my daughter's diaper and he was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean? What am I doing?" And he was like, "Men don't do that." And he was like, "What men don't do that? If men don't do that, men don't have wives."
Right.
And he was like, "You know, you got to take care of your." He was like, my job on earth is to take care of my Thomas women. And like, you know, that's what he was like. So I got here by way of Dayton, Ohio and Wyoming, where my dad was a professor, and then Montclair State, and then Union and Princeton. And he like, you know, we just, my sister and brother are 10 years older than me. We've been here for 55 years.
Wow.
That's incredible.
What you have a big family here in Montclair area or in New Jersey?
It's just me and Ella here in Montclair, New Jersey. I have an older sister who is a doctor in South Jersey. I have a younger sister who is a doctor in North Carolina. And I have a brother who is a doctor in Pennsylvania. There's a theme. We were allowed to do two things.
Yeah.
Either be a doctor or a lawyer. I am every single cliche that you could ever think of. And my parents also, my dad came by way of Africa, like Ethiopia, like Gandhi and all those people. So we're everything and nobody can tell what I am. Just by looking at me and by my voice, they really didn't want us to have accents because they were like, people won't accept you. It's discrimination. Even here in Montclair, my brother, the whole integration thing was happening and they were doing the magnet schools with the buses.
Right.
And I remember my mom getting on the bus. My son doesn't have to get on the back of the bus. That's not how, like they were very worried about integration. And you know, we lived in Upper Montclair and we were the first not Italian, not Irish, not Jewish family. I mean, there was Mr. Shirley lived across the street. He's a great opera singer. He is incredible. He like you never know who your friend's parents are.
Yeah.
But they were the other Black family.
Well, it's really interesting to learn your background and how you got here. Rachel, I think you were about to ask a question. Let me throw it to you.
So I'm curious, you know, because of your family background and then moving here and having, you know, different experiences, being first generation, being part of this community, did that, you feel, propel you to want to run for mayor and add your voice and make a difference to change the way things were going?
Well, I definitely want to change the way things are going. And I definitely think I have the capability to do that because I know how things are supposed to go. I didn't move back home because I wanted to move back home. I moved back home because my mom was really, really sick and she was dying. I actually owned a home in Bloomfield and I had my practice at 317 Belleville Avenue, which was a beautiful building with, you know, Anthony Ambrosio ran and had the Rolls Royce in the driveway and we were litigators and I worked at McCarter and English and I had my own life. And she was like, "No, you must come and take care of me." And I was like, "Okay." And it was really hard.
Like Rachel was asking, when was the first time you went to a council meeting? What yeah. provoked you to go to a council meeting and get started once you were back in Montclair?
When I got here, I started going to just a couple of council meetings. I would call people and say, hey, how come the road is messed up in front of my house? And why are we changing it? Like, didn't we just change from Belgian blocks to concrete? And why are we changing back again? Like, what are we doing? The COVID or the Clary Anderson ordinance, it's a public skating place. The maximum they can charge is $10, like including skate rentals, or that was something very cheap. And they were charging like 20. And I was like, what's going on? And the council was like, what? And I said, it's your ordinance. Do you need me to send you the ordinance? And they said, sure. And Liz wrote an article about it. And I thought, that's weird. Why is this the most important thing? It's not. I mean, it's something, but what's going on here that nobody knows? Even the counselors were like, what do you mean it's an ordinance? And I was like, you know, you guys passed this. How come you don't know? But that's how I got involved, like little issues. And people would say, oh, Chrissy, you call, you fix this.
Because of your legal background also?
Because of my legal background, because I know people in the neighborhood. More recently, as I've gone to town council meetings, like I get the packet, I read it over the weekend, because I'm shocked that it comes out on Friday. To read through the ordinances and to read what's actually going on takes a long time. So I would do that. And then I would send an email saying, these are the issues I see. Can you do something about it? I would send it to each of the counselors.
Okay.
And some of the time people would say, oh, that's so interesting. Thank you for the information. Mm-hmm. And some of the times people would be like, they would just ignore me. Then at the meetings, I would look for them to say something and they just didn't. Mm-hmm. And then I would go up and read, you know, I just sent you an email about this. And you're still going forward with the ordinance as is? Then I started getting more critical because I realized what they were doing. I was like, you're hiding stuff. You're not telling people what you're actually doing. You're hiding it. And then once there was a back and forth between Gina and Peter Iacobellis about the indemnification ordinance.
Can you tell us what that is?
Oh, sorry. An indemnification ordinance allows when a counselor is, or anybody is at town hall, is brought suit against, that they don't have to defend with their own money. So the town is indemnifying them. So every lawsuit now, from the date of that midnight indemnification ordinance,
right,
whether the taxpayers win or lose, like we think Montclair is representing us. But that's not the case. We paid, or we're going to pay, for Sean's lawyer, who he hired separately before he was joined to the case, to plead the fifth. Now, you don't really need an attorney to do that, but he didn't want to answer questions. But Nancy Arca Smith is a genius. And if you read through her questions, you get what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What I'm gathering from what you're saying is that one of the main motivations that you've had for it is that you feel that there is a lack of correct processes that need to be changed, that have motivated you to go and come in and make some changes to these type of things.
You said it perfectly. We should have an accountability process. Like, you know, when you work for any kind of organization, if you don't do your job, you typically get fired. Yeah. Or you get a warning, or there's some system in place. In Montclair, there's not. And that's alarming. We need people that don't have higher political aspirations and that don't, aren't doing this for their ego, and actually have relevant skills and do read the documents and do make suggestions. And I think it's alarming when people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you got the packet. Did you not read it? Like, do your homework. Dave seems to be doing a lot more of his homework. Like, that's actually, that day is the reason that I decided to run.
What day are you talking about specifically, and who is Dave?
Sorry. I, I'm sorry. Thank you for doing that, because I assume people know who everybody is.
No, I mean, you have to, one thing that we want to constantly point out is that those town halls get about 100 people at the max on very top issues, but there's almost 40,000 people that live here. So a lot of people are not involved.
We've actually gotten some feedback too from the three other videos we've done so far of the counselor at large. And so they're excited and looking forward to these, this video with you and then the video with Renee to learn more, because they're not the ones going necessarily to the town hall meetings. So it'll be great for you to explain that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Dave?
So our council is made up of 7 equal players. They're supposed to be all equal. They all have equal votes. And David is Dave Cummings.
Oh, yes.
He is the 4th ward representative. Mm-hmm. You get to vote for one mayor, and there are only 2 of us running. So no matter what, we have a 50-50 shot. And, you know, we're both women of color, and we will be the first elected mayor. Because Mary Mosheri, from 1980 to 1984, she was appointed by the rest of the council. It was a different form of government then.
Right.
So you get to vote for a mayor. You get to vote for 2 councilors at large, and there are 3 of them running. And then you get to vote for someone in your ward to represent you. And the way it's supposed to be set up is your ward people are supposed to be the first line, like they're supposed to have town hall meetings. They're all supposed to serve on boards. We're supposed to use our commissions and our boards as our local experts that don't necessarily have time to do this because of, you know, jobs, but have amazing expertise in certain areas.
Right.
They volunteer their time to give the counselors advice. And those have almost all fallen apart. Not some of them, like the planning board is still there, and the bid does so much work, and UMBA, the Upper Montclair Business Association.
Yeah.
Right. So, and we all kind of are trying to find out everything about everybody right now, because I only cared about my issues before and issues that affected me. And just even knowing that. So Dave Cummings got an email and he read it, and it said, what is this contract for the Aubrey Group, and why is our grant writers being hired to do a survey of the Clary Anderson Arena that's supposed to be an engineering survey? And we did one several years ago, and they're the only 2 firms that applied. What are they going to do? The actual contract is not attached, nor is the checklist of whether it met the checklist. But when I'm looking at the documents, the request for proposals is not to exceed $40,000. And the resolution proposes 60. So how is this happening? And do you know what they're actually being hired to do? So David Cummings had called the clerk and said, can you send me the contract so I can look at this? And at that meeting, he said, listen, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying, can we table this until everyone has had a chance to look at the contract? Because he asked, has anyone seen this? I had to ask the clerk to send it to me, which she did, but I haven't had a chance to read it carefully. We shouldn't be voting on this until
everybody's read it.
Right. And they said no, and they approved it. And I was like, what? That whole meeting was just a whole lot of, wow, they really don't care. And they are just being bold about it. And that was the minute I was like, oh, no more. Like, this was too much. So that's actually why I'm running.
Yeah.
I have a lot of degrees. And I mean, but when I go to people's houses and they say, why are you running? I'm like, I can add, I can read, and I'm not getting indicted. So it's a pretty low bar, but I really am great. I really am qualified, and I have been paying attention for years and years and years, and I've lived here, and I can explain why things are the way they are. And those are the kind of, you know, you need history and you need to know how an organization runs, but that's Robert's rules.
Yeah.
And I was in a sorority. I know how Robert, I was on the PTA. I know how Robert's rules work.
in the new council, if you are elected, how do you feel that you can lead as a mayor to make sure everybody is on the same page and participates the way that would be beneficial to the town?
I think that everybody running, except for a couple, always do their homework. Yeah. And they, you know, we wouldn't have Eileen Birmingham if, but for her work with the, you know, the fire, like we didn't know what was going on with the fire contract, but she did this really deep dive into it. And now we all know because of the research that she did and the homework that she did. Gotcha. There is a group of people like Eric D'Amato was researching the conflict of interest. He wasn't, you know, always at anything, but he did the deep dive and he actually effectively changed our form of government, right? Not a lot of people understand that because they keep coming to council meetings and saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, not understanding that the Board of Ed now has its own budget.
Right.
And, you know,
now, I mean, that is a big deal. That's very true.
It's a big deal.
But Eric D'Amato, as you mentioned, he's first ward. Is that, is he's running for first ward, and Eileen is running for second ward.
But, and Elmar, he has been here for as well, not maybe not as long as I have, but he went through our school system too. Yeah. He knows what it's like.
I have a few questions here that were given to us by Montclair Local News. Yeah. If you get elected and everybody, you know, comes together, what are you going to want to talk about first and deal with?
I am trying to learn as much as I can about what everybody's like, what the deep dives into every issue are, so that I'm pretty good about what the plans are. Mm-hmm. And people like Mr. LaPola, I was very grateful that he was proactive in explaining his position about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy to meet with the developers in town who could tell me what's going on. And I was really happy to meet with the people that are for it, and why, and the people that are vehemently against it.
Are you talking about
Lackawanna?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Lackawanna. You know, I think people don't know what the council needs to do. Mm. And unless some amazing, quickly done things happen, we're going to have a lot of really important issues to deal with.
Lackawanna Plaza is your first priority, because that's what you were. Okay. What is it?
No, it's getting the finances straightened out. Like, if we don't have a clear budget by then, that should alarm every person in this town. We have a huge budget. We have high taxes. We have more to play with than most people.
The budget, I believe, is like $250 million or something like that. The total.
It's like, it might be a little more than that.
Yeah, I think the total budget is about $250 million. And that's what I've got here on my notes.
How much of it goes to contracts that we haven't read? How much of it goes to salaries of jobs that may have existed in the past, but don't exist now for reasons?
Right.
Why don't we have an actual media person who does media and promotion about meetings and issues? You know, we had Peter Iacobellis, who was extremely good at communicating with the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that Renee used to be good at. Like, she would have meetings and people would come.
Okay, so listen, what I want to do is, as we wrap this up, because you are running for mayor, even though you don't have like incredibly more power than any of the other council members, there's a couple of, you know, you can appoint, I believe, to the Board of Education, trustees of the public library, you appoint them, and the members of the Board of Education and the council manager communities. You can appoint the board members there. That's what I have written down here.
Yes.
And basically everything else, you're kind of on par with everyone. I want to quickly go through what I know are the top issues and give you not a long answer. I'm talking about like one sentence, like either yes, no, or just yes, no, because, and that's it. Okay. So traffic, parking, and Vision Zero. What do you see as being your stance on that, like the whole transportation issue?
I'm 100% for for zero deaths. That is, no, I mean, Vision
Zero. I mean, that's what Vision Zero is.
That's what Vision Zero is, right?
Yeah, it is.
Zero deaths. Mm-hmm. How do you get it done? There have been people working on this for 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are the people, like some of them with really a lot of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And they know people in the community that are active and involved that should be part of their organization. Mm-hmm. So when you appoint somebody, it's yes. not going to be me. It's going to be interviews with the entire council, and it's going to end with the group itself and say, what is this person's expertise? And they're willing to volunteer to do it. Terrific. And there's a counselor on almost every commission and board, and like they're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Have they? No. So that's going to change. We're going to have like that's Vision Zero, thumbs up, you know, but it's going to be built into everything.
Mm-hmm.
When we redo Lackawanna Plaza,
built into that.
It should be built into the plan. Environmentalism, built into the plan.
Okay.
Everything is always like, yes. The master plan is a suggestion.
So the next question is Lackawanna Plaza that you just mentioned. Where do you stand on the
revised plan?
The next step is making the plan into like naming the developer. And that's when you start actually negotiating the terms of the economic development plan. So that's something that either this council is going to push through or we're actually going to do thoughtfully. This is where the planning board has teeth. This is where the different groups you have to go for have teeth. So whatever you did back there to get stuff pushed through, fine, who cares? It doesn't really matter yet. But there are lawsuits. And I think that last vote that they did where they were like, well, we're just changing it. So Peter's conflict is missing. I was like, oh, what are you doing? You just admitted, like, the whole town of Montclair, who's being sued, just admitted that Peter Yacobellis had a conflict. Why would you do that? Like, what is, so, you know, when I said I would vote no on that, I just want to vote no on stupid. Like, don't do stupid stuff. Like, it should be basic, but not everyone understands how it works.
So the next question I have to you, what is your stance on the pilot?
We should have enough money per student for the school. However, now we have no say over what that money is going for. And we all just paid, we all agreed by referendum to pay more in our taxes so stuff could get done.
Right.
And what have we seen? I don't know. The school, the chairs in the auditorium are still the same. The, you know, we have some HVAC system stuff, but that was before because of COVID. Like we had all the windows locked in Edgemont so that you couldn't open them because that was better. And then COVID, we have to have them all unlocked and it has to be by, you know, a union person and it's going to cost us twice as much as it would if you did it in your backyard. But if we get stuff done that we would get fined for, or that we, you know, you wouldn't accept this in your backyard or in your house. Like you would be like, no, do it again, fix it. Like, don't just put a Band-Aid on it.
Right. Well, that's some of the argument I think about pilots is that the money is not always going to be there. It's not a consistent like payment of money. So you're saying, are you saying that if we fix use some of that pilot money to fix some things that we would otherwise get fined on or the chairs?
No, we don't have control over that. It's the Board of Education.
Right. So you're saying like looking at the Board of Ed also discuss the bond referendum so that they're going to use those funds to hopefully fix a lot of the crumbling infrastructure.
So pilots, I am kind of iffy about whether they're needed at all. I don't think we ever need to give most developers a subsidy. I think if I could get a pilot on my house, sure, yeah, base it on my revenue. And if I can't pay taxes that year, oh well, my revenue wasn't as high as I hoped, or I got laid off. We can't do that. So pilots are something that are part of the economic development plan. That's why it's so, like the number of housing units that are for low-income families, part of the economic development plan. all part of the negotiation that the council has to do.
We do need to probably wrap it up. It's been a nice conversation. Yes. And we just usually we end our podcast with asking, you know, just some sort of closer question. Usually we we ask, is there something special that you love about New Jersey?
I got this one.
You got this one? All right. Okay. All right. We'll go with that. So what do you got?
I went away for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I've lived in a lot of places. I've gone to school in a lot of places. And you can't get a good slice of pizza everywhere. You can't get a pork roll sandwich everywhere. I am 100%, I don't know if you can see this, 100% Jersey girl. I have Jersey hair. Even my husband, we met in the city and I was like, sure, we can have an apartment in the city. It has to have a driveway. It has to have I want to live here. And we did. We had a pied-à-terre in the city. It was like 19 feet by, but it's not Montclair. I was like, you know, when we get to Montclair, you've made it. When you move in, people are like, hey, where in Brooklyn are you from? But this is it. And it's supposed to be a destination where you really want to live.
Yes.
And that's what I want to make Montclair again. I love all of New Jersey because we're smart. We, you know, work together. We don't get in as many car accidents as you think, even though we're really, really tight, close together. And we have so much talent here just because we're so close to the epicenter of the world, which is, mm-hmm, I think, New York, mm-hmm, sometimes California. You know that map? York and then Chicago. And I think Montclair should be on that map. And I have Jersey hair, so it goes here. You know, the Aquanet, look.
I used to have the Aquanet too, but I'm from Long Island, so I think it was even bigger.
Well, Long Island is the same thing.
Yeah. It's like a sister town.
It's all the same.
It is.
We're all friends.
All surrounding New York City. All of us have some sort of, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you and having this chat with you. I wish you luck.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Afsharian. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.